gosh, all these little girls come right up, so excited, and dads, and anyway, so it was a really fun day. I had several of the dads tell me later that was one of the most fun daughter dances they'd ever been to, so it was really fun. And our square dance caller, he was awesome. He was awesome. You know, square dance callers are like a genre all of their own, so... But anyways, you know, calling those dads into the middle of the circle and having them hold hands and walk in a circle was awesome. I could hardly contain myself. So anyways, I didn't want y'all to feel left out because I wanted you to be able to see some of that. So it was really fun. I know. So we used to do this back in the day when Cindy and myself and Kim and Alden and Virginia, we were all... we used to do this, and so I have these pictures from when we did it, and it is just precious. So we had fun reviving the square dance, so it was great. So anyways, well, let's pray, and we'll get started with our day. Heavenly Father, we give you this morning. I thank you just for your mercies that are new every day. For the way that you, Father, in your grace and in your mercy, teach us to persevere and to keep going and to, Father, just hold on to you. I pray for just our conversations today. I pray for, Father, the words of my mouth, that they will be pleasing in your sight and that they will hit the ears of the hearers just the way that you want them to hit, Lord. I thank you for the lessons that you've taught me through exercise. I pray, Father, that I would be able to communicate that well today and that we just thank you for your truths about just perseverance that are woven all through the scriptures. I pray that you will help us to make connections today between mind and soul and body and that we would live out, Father, all of our lives for your glory and the good of others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as a reminder, this is wholehearted living. So as we, you know, have talked about that this is, that we want to take all of ourselves, our whole bodies, our whole minds, our whole hearts, our whole souls, and surrender them to the Lord in every single way. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And this, what we're going to talk today about, is one way that I will say I have experienced God in exercise, and I'm going to share some of this with you in more ways than I can even begin to describe, how God has grown me spiritually, has grown me as a mother, has grown me in my marriage through this discipline. So our chapter here is Embrace Discipline, and he subtitled it, How Exercise Teaches Us That We Were Meant for Sanctification Through Suffering. And, you know, like as the Lord would have it, how these things go, you know, my verse, I have several verses here, and I gave you a whole page of verses that you can follow up with. These are all verses on perseverance and discipline and how God uses hardship in order to shape us. And I've just given that to you for your quiet times, for whatever, so you can kind of start just thinking through how God uses hard things to grow faith. So as I... you know, in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and really Hebrews 12 all the way to like verse 12, I think, really talks about discipline and how God uses this in our life. But here, this first verse I have for you here, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And you know, this chapter comes right after the Hall of Heroes of Faith chapter. And in my Bible reading today, that's where I was. I was in Hebrews 11 this morning, and I was looking at what faith looked like in all of these men. And it is amazing. The exercise of faith and endurance are like two sides of the same coin. All the way through. It is the hanging on. It is the believing. It is the trusting. It is the, despite what everything looks like, I am going to believe this, even though it'd be easier to not, even though it'd be easier to give in, even though it'd be easier to do something else. Faith and endurance are really two sides of the same coin. And so he lays that all out in Hebrews 11. And what endurance looked like, what faith looked like for all of these great men of God. And then you get here to chapter 12. And we have this word picture of a race and how we're supposed to run this race. We are supposed to run with endurance, this race that is set out before us, with our eyes on the prize, with our eyes on the finish line, with our eyes on Jesus. And we know that we're told that he is the author and perfecter of our faith, and for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, the hardest of hard things. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have so many pictures through Scripture about what this looks like. And so we're going to, Justin Early really does a great job of explaining this. So I think we're going to have our mom-to-mom, our new thing is going to be is that the wall is not the wall. So let's talk about that the wall is not the wall. So this is the spiritual and the physical application of this. So on page 143, I'm actually just going to read some of this if you guys have not had a chance to read it, because I really want to set it up with this in mind. So on page 143, he gives this story about how he was out of shape and there was a gym close to his office and he saw this guy and he was like, I really need to go and work out. I know, it's good for me and I'm feeling kind of flabby and whatnot. And so he goes. And he goes, but really more with the motivation of, you know, I mean, you kind of imply he kind of wants to get buff, you know, that's sort of his motivation. So he goes in and he starts working out and, you know, he's not really feeling it. It's hard. I don't know if any of you have started a gym routine. It does not feel comfortable at the beginning. And so this is what he is experiencing. So he's sort of, you know, not giving it his all. And then on page 143, he says, then I had a day that in no small sense changed my life. The workout had something to do with a barbell. I remember that we had to lift the barbell to our shoulders and then put it over our heads and then drop it and repeat over and over. A few minutes in, I remember hitting the wall, as I always did. I looked up at the clock only to realize that I was already done with what I could do physically, but there were 8 minutes left in the workout. So basically an eternity, which is true in workout time. So I decided to quit. Said I was staring at the bar on the ground in a haze of depression and resignation when I heard a voice. I realized it had been talking to me for some time, but in my exhaustion, I had ignored it. It said, pick it up. I looked to see my coach, Ryan, standing in front of me. I guess he'd gotten tired of me giving up mid-workout. I looked at him in confusion. I can't, I said. I've hit the wall. And to be clear, I really believed it. He said, yes, you can, he said, smiling. It wasn't mean. It was a simple, matter-of-fact statement. He believed in my body's ability more than I did. I picked up the par again and did the movement. Then I dropped it and looked up at Ryan. He said, see? He said, then he smiled again, as I feared. He said it again, now pick it up again. out of sheer peer pressure, I did it again and again and again and again. I don't know how long Ryan stood there, but I remember lying on the floor afterwards, having a feeling I couldn't describe. It wasn't just the exhaustion of physical activity as my body lay on the ground. My mind raced around some seed of an intellectual realization. The wall was not the wall. I mean, how many of us need to know that the wall is not the wall? It sure feels like it when you're in the middle of it, but the wall is not the wall. And he says that exercise teaches us that at the end of ourselves, there is grace to go on. You know, you think of all the hard things that you're doing right now, all the hard things of parenting, all the hard things of marriage, finances, teaching, in-laws. I mean, on and on and on. Keep going with your list. Aging parents, illness, sickness, disease, whatever the hard thing is. We all have these hard things. And we think, oftentimes, in a state of exhaustion, that we're done. We got nothing left. But exercise can teach us that we can usually go farther and do more than we ever thought possible. The body is teaching the soul to persevere. There are so many analogies in Scripture of this physical-spiritual connection. I mean, Paul has all kinds of teaching on this, in which I've listed them here on the next page, several of them, but this scripture here in 1 Corinthians is, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath. But we are imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. What does Paul mean here? You know, the Christian life, as we know, requires daily dying to self, daily surrender to the Lord. It is not a one and done. It is an everyday, oftentimes throughout the day, all the time, that we are yielding ourselves to the Lord because we want to live in such a way that is in accordance with how he has designed us. We want to live like we're saved, like we've been redeemed. And he's saying, run like this. Run like God has saved you. Run like you've been rescued, that you are running out of gratitude for what God has done for you. And so he gives this analogy. So on page 145 in the book, Justin Early talks about this concept of anti-fragility. How hard things make our bodies and souls stronger. This is so, so true. This is so true. Peter Attia, I don't know if any of you read this book, Outlive. Peter Attia, well, he's in the news for lots of reasons now. But anyways, he's written a book on that came out several years ago, which is really a very comprehensive study on longevity and health span. With a ton of research and science behind it. And he talks about diet and sleep and all kinds of things. He talks about the major diseases in this book that really kind of end up taking people out early or eventually late. But what he says in this book, and he says this because it is research-backed, more than anything else we discuss in this book, Outlive, exercise has the greatest power to determine how you will live the rest of your life. Now, We are going to hold all these things together that we've been talking about. We are going to hold the sovereignty of God. You can exercise and you can be in the best shape of your life. This does not determine the number of your days. We know that we have a sovereign God who does that. Okay, so we're going to hold that truth here. We're also going to hold the truth of the last chapter that we talked about with brokenness and pain, that we can't all do everything that we want to do. We're going to hold that. But we are also going to hold this truth that we know that this is how God made our bodies. It's how he made them. And so we're going to honor that and know that when we exercise, we are putting ourselves in a position to be healthy for longer so we can love others well. We're just going to hold all that together because those are all simultaneously true. He says on page 146, our bodies need stress, pain, and suffering to be healthy. Do you know that? Our bodies need stress, pain, and suffering to be healthy. Experts call this phenomenon anti-fragility. And this goes against our cultural mindset of ease everywhere. Now, what does he mean by this? I mean, there is pain that we should not push through, of course. I mean, if you have an injured bone or ligament, I mean, this is not saying go out and go for a run, but what it is saying is that the things that we need to do in order to be healthy are on the other side of hard. They're not easy. They're hard. And that's how we build these things in our life. He says here again, he says, to build a strong immune system, children need to get sick. To prevent excessive allergies, we need to be exposed to lots of allergens. To develop resilient mental health, it can actually do us some good to be picked on and to get into small skirmishes. he says, obviously, with limits. I mean, you have to use some wisdom with this, but let's be honest. When you read that, do you believe that's true? Do you believe that that's true? Are we trying to protect our children in every single way from any sort of emotional, uncomfortable anything that would hurt their feelings? Are we trying to protect them from anything that would make them feel bad? That is creating a bubble of softness that will not do your children well in the long run. They have to have a little bit of friction in order to develop some muscles here. If everything is always easy for them, they will not grow stronger in this area. And I'm telling you, something hard is coming. You cannot keep them in your house forever. Something hard is coming. Somebody is going to reject them, a boss, a friend, a something. Something is going to happen that hurts their feelings. And we build a little resiliency over time. We don't have to curate a bubble where they don't experience any of this. We help them work through it. We don't, you know, be like, oh, well, that's too bad. But we cannot protect them from all of this. And he says here, he says, but for many, especially many parents, he specifically calls us out here, modern life has tricked us into thinking that the good life for us and for our children is to avoid suffering. And even if you don't intellectually say that out loud, you might emotionally feel that. You're like, yes, that's true. I would like to create peace and joy and happiness all the time, every day, for everybody that lives with me. But he says, we think that this is good, and he says, it is not. As is often noted, we do better to choose our suffering, lest our suffering chooses us. We have to build some muscles here. So how does this relate to physically? This is amazing. This is how our bodies work, okay? Bones, if you want strong bones, you have to lift heavy things. Our bones need heavy load-bearing activity to stimulate growth and strength. There is more and more research coming out about this. It's really, really interesting about what creates healthy bones. This is why people around my age, they're like, lift heavy, lift heavy. you have to at least be lifting things in order to create strong bones, which really helps you go the distance. Because people who break bones later in life, end up having a whole other cascade of problems. How do you build muscle? Muscle tears in order to build back stronger. That's how a muscle grows. Our cardiovascular system, which is one of the, there are a couple of things. It is your muscle strength and it is your oxygen levels in your body, your VO2 max, which really indicate health span. Those are like the two things that really indicate how healthy you are long term. Our cardiovascular system needs stress and exertion to utilize oxygen more efficiently. It's one of the greatest correlations to longevity. It's just interesting that God made our body like this, that we have to do hard things in order to have a strong body. Isn't that interesting? We have to do hard things to have a strong body. I love this. Everything we want is on the other side of difficult. Isn't that true? Okay, so the spiritual benefits of hard things. These are the physical, the spiritual. And that's the page of scripture that I gave you that kind of correlates to this. One of the most remarkable things about the Bible is how central suffering is to the gospel. The Bible's core message over and over is that God loved us enough to send his son to live, to die, and to rise again on our behalf. It is central. You know, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, an instrument of suffering, and follow me. He says here, page 148, as he's talking about suffering, hardship, and the character of Christ, he's got a little chart at the top of page 148 on the path of anti-fragility. And he says that the Bible claims suffering is not the impediment to the good life, but the path to it. I had the sweetest lunch yesterday. Let me tell you about it. I went to Joyce Johnson's house for lunch yesterday. Joyce, if you know her, she has been a rock at this church. I've known her as long as I've been here. Joyce is 88 years old, and Joyce suffered a stroke about a week ago. She's at home now, and Joyce has had quite a life. She lost her dad when she was 3. She lost her husband early on, at least 35, 40 years ago. Yep. She raised 4 children, 2 of whom have died. You would be hard-pressed to find a more joyful, gracious, servant-hearted, loving woman than Joyce Johnson. I'm not kidding. She was telling us all about the faithfulness of God as we're in her living room, and she's sitting in her chair, and she's doing well. I mean, she's got some recovery to do, but she was just telling us story after story after story about just how God has been there all along and how good he is to her. And a lot of people would look at that and say, I mean, what about all this suffering? No, see, God has used that suffering in her life to make her who she is today. And that's Joyce. She actually knows that all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. She knows that she's being conformed into the image of his son. She just receives it gladly, joyfully. He says here on page 150, the Christian worldview takes the startling viewpoint that God will use bad and evil things for good. The gospel is not just a message, it's a template for our life. Just as Christ went through the brokenness into new life for the sake of love, so we are called to persevere through brokenness into new life for the sake of love. This is the call of the Christian life. And it just so happens that exercise is one of the things in the world that is particularly well suited to teach us the cruciform shape of Christ's life because it asks us to embody it. It is so, so true. I can't wait till we get to this part in the lesson. Okay, so what are the temptations? Why don't we do it? What are the temptations? So he talks about how the temptations that we can face when it comes to exercise is we either ignore it or we can idolize it, both of which I have done in my life. I totally and completely confess that. So why do we ignore it? One of the reasons is we don't see the immediate impact of it. If I have a list of things to do, and I got to get to the grocery store, and I got to feed my people, and I got to get some laundry done, or nobody's going to have any clean clothes, and I also have got to take my, you know, whatever the thing is, this seems like an optional, you know? I mean, like, what is this actually going to do for me, right? Totally. So it goes, because we do not see the immediate impact of it. It's important, but it's not urgent. So we leave it off. It does not get into the top 10 priorities. I think another temptation why we ignore it is we over-spiritualize it. Yeah, whatever, that's just my body. But these are the really important things in life, right? So a smart mind and all of these other things, we just put a higher priority on other stuff that seems more spiritual, more important, and we ignore this without thinking of the long-term consequences of what happens when we ignore it. Because it's not in front of our face. There's a lot of warnings about how this can go wrong. An overemphasis on the body, you know. I mean, we live in a culture that is obsessed with bodies, obsessed with them. So we don't want to give in to that. You know, we don't want to be like that. We want to prioritize over here and the things that are important. And they are important. These are important things. But they're all important things. And so we can ignore this because we feel like these things are really the priority. And it's true. And that's what we're going to talk about next is what's the problem with it? Well, we can idolize it. That is a real temptation. And I have done that in my life. Absolutely, for sure. Vanity and body image and exercise are like all synced up. It's hard to unravel those. And so because sometimes we struggle with unraveling those, we think, well, I shouldn't do it at all. So this is a temptation that we could fall into this. You know that it has become an idol in your life if you are actually neglecting things that you're supposed to do. This is such a high priority that you are neglecting your family, you're neglecting responsibilities, that it's taking more time than really you have to afford it. If when you're not exercising, you either feel shame or guilt or you're not joyful, that probably is an indicator that you are idolizing this. And so he talks about, what do we do if we know that this is true? And he said, well, don't stop exercising, but deal with this idolatry. He says, this is something, and this is a path that I have gone through in my life. I'm like, Lord, I know this is good, and my priorities are all out of whack. I want to do this for the right reasons. Will you help me do this for the right reasons? Because I know it's good, and I know the long term in this is good. You confess your idolatry. The exercise is not the problem. The idolatry is the problem. That's what you have to deal with. And that's true in so many areas of our life. It's not the thing that's the problem. It's how we're your children are not the problem. Any type of idolatry about your children is the problem. You know, this is with so much of life. It's how our heart posture towards it. And you remember why you're training. This is for a life of loving others well, growing in discipline and perseverance. He says, people often ask me how to get rid of vanity before they engage in exercise, but my response is always to practice exercising for the sake of love and trusting that God will do the work of changing our hearts as you do the work of seeking his love. So that's kind of our temptations, the things that might block us. But how do we actually do this? So I'm going to tell you my life over the last 27 years, 28 years has looked very different in terms of exercise. I was not an athlete. I mean, I was a cheerleader, but anyways, well, I wasn't an athlete. I wasn't a runner. I didn't go to sports practice. That was not my life. I didn't really put a ton of emphasis on this when I was younger. But then really through college, I kind of started getting healthy and started making this a part of my routine. And I was absolutely doing it for the sake of vanity and body image at that time in my life. 100%. I was not thinking about my 50, 80-year-old self. I was thinking about how I look today. Totally. But then as I became a mom, I knew that I wanted to be healthy. I did. I wanted to be healthy long-term. And I still obviously struggle with body image and vanity and wrong reasons and all that. But again, you push through. And my life today as an empty nester looks very, very different than my life did early on. You know, early on, we didn't have a lot of money. I couldn't really belong to a gym. So we bought a double stroller. I mean, that's how I dealt with it. When we moved and I had a little bit more money, we joined the YMCA. And I either brought my children to childcare and I did it with a friend, or I worked it out with Steve. But every week I kind of had to negotiate, where is this going to fit into my life, you know? When Grace Ann was about 2 years old, so she's my fourth baby, I was a pretty unhealthy point in my life. I had not taken the time for this. So I had some neighbors who were going to start training for a sprint triathlon. Okay, I'll do a sprint triathlon. But it was great because I did it in community. I could not swim. I mean, I can swim like to not drown, but not swim like across like a lake, you know. So it was very humbling, but I did it in community. I had a regular routine of when we would meet up, and it was just something I was moving towards. So my point in all of this, this is my point, is wherever you are in your life, you have to restructure. You have to reinvent the wheel kind of all the time. But it's worth doing. You know, I've been fighting for this for the last 27, 28 years of my life. And by God's grace, I'm super grateful that I feel healthy today. You know, I have the energy to do all the things that God has put in front of me. And God's put a lot of stuff in front of me. And I'm super grateful that I have the energy for that. And part of it is this exercise. It really, really is. So you kind of have to assess your own situation. And that's why he says, I'm not coming up with an exercise plan for you. I'm not coming up with an exercise plan for you. You have to really honestly assess your situation. You know, your age, your injuries, your current level of fitness. I mean, I used to run. I don't run anymore. It hurts my knee. I get on my Peloton. You know, I mean, I've had to adjust. I mean, where are you with this? You know, when you're breastfeeding, there's a lot of things you cannot do, but there are some things you can do. So you look at your financial limitations. Do you have access to a gym or health equipment? Can you put an app on your phone and do things from your house? How do you negotiate your schedule with your husband and what you've got going on? Where can you fit it in? You do not have to do this every day. 3 to 4 times a week is great if you can. I mean, but maybe it's 2, you know? I mean, it's just movement in a direction. And if you can, exercise in community, I will tell you that has been the biggest help to me. If I had a friend that I was going to meet at the gym, or if I had this group that I was doing things with, that has been hugely helpful if you can find a exercise buddy or a group of exercise buddies. And then also, can you involve your children in it? Sometimes, like, you can go for a walk together. You can do things together. This is part of just also training your children to be healthy, to move. It's so good. Can we all hold a plank for a minute? You know, that's hard, but whatever the thing is. And then he says this, too. So you have to assess yourself. Then you also have to pick something that's hard enough. He says, whatever your activity level is, ideally, it should be something that's hard or challenging to you. If you're in fantastic shape, then walking around the block is probably not the goal for you. You've got to push, because what we're trying to do is find stressors, both physically and spiritually. And then you have to pick a plan. People do not fall into an exercise routine. You will not. This is one of the things I love about a buddy or I love about a class is that I have to, like, sign up and plan for it and put it in. I can't just depend on my willpower any given day that I may or may not exercise. It will literally never happen if I do that. I have got to have a plan, and I've got to, and listen, we all get thrown off, right? There's nothing more frustrating than having a plan, and then somebody wakes up and they throw up. And you're like, okay, so not today. All right, but you just keep going. You just keep going. So maybe it's not today, maybe it's tomorrow. So those are just kind of the specifics to think through. And then also, like, what do you like to do? You don't have to do things that you hate. I do not swim anymore. I hated swimming. I did it enough to finish that race, and now I am done. That is not for me. I am never going to do that again. But it was great. I'm glad I accomplished it. I mean, what do you love, you know? So, and then this is so, I cannot even tell you how much God has worked in my life in this, that we see exercise as a spiritual gymnasium. These are the things that we can think about while we are exercising. That small things are big things. Small things are big things. We underestimate that change happens slowly over time. We really do. So, will y'all let me tell a little story? So, yesterday when I went to F45, I also hated lifting weights, like I've told y'all. At the end of F45 yesterday, my coach, Vince, said to the class, "Hey, guys, everyone get at the back wall. It's Toria's 200th class." And so they all take a picture, and I have my little weight. 200 classes ago, I felt very different than I feel today. How many times do you do something over and over and over again, but then at the 200th time, it's different? Exercise teaches us this, right? We learn this. How many times have you disciplined your children and you're like, it's never going to work? They're never going to get it. It's going to be the same always. And then at the 200th time, it's not. But in the moment, we have to remember. We have to remember. Just keep going. Small things add up over time. They just do. We overestimate what we can do in a week, and we underestimate what we can do in a year. You overestimate all the teaching that you're pouring into your kids this week, and you overestimate that, but you underestimate what might happen when they're 20. Small changes over time. He also says here that virtue is a habit. Hard things and new things have to be practiced. Do you know how uncomfortable confession is? Real uncomfortable. Do you know how uncomfortable forgiveness is? It's real uncomfortable. Do you know that as you do it more and more and more, it gets easier? How hard is it to be patient with your children? It's hard. Your husband, the people at the grocery store, wherever. It's hard. Virtue is a habit. We have to practice it over and over again before it gets comfortable. I go to F45 now, and I'm kind of, I mean, it's still hard, but it's, I don't feel like a fish out of water. I know what I'm doing because I've done it 200 times. This is amazing that we learn through exercise. We bring the effort, but only God can bring the results. We do not have the power to regenerate a muscle cell through our own willpower. I go to the gym, I lift the weights, the muscles break down, but it is God who is doing a thing in my body. I'm not actually doing that. It is a great reminder that we can put ourselves in the way of grace, but grace is always a gift. Sanctification invites effort but rejects earning. Change is always a miraculous gift. And Christians do hard things. It is good to do hard things. It is really, really good to do hard things. That's what Christians do. Christians do hard things. Life is hard. And it's gonna be hard. It's supposed to be hard. We've already talked about the pain and the brokenness of this world. I mean, it's hard. Marriage is hard, work is hard, parenting is hard, and exercise is the great reminder that hard things can make us stronger, not weaker. Joyce Johnson stands here as somebody who knows that hard things have made her stronger, not weaker. Exercise tells us to step into the hard and not avoid it. Everything we want is on the other side of hard. You got to practice through busting through that wall if you want to grow your perseverance muscles. I will tell you a thing that I do. So I think about this often. So I have a Peloton in my basement, and it is hard, you know, to do this. But I think, you know, at the end of my class that I'm doing, and I'm tired, you know, my heart rate's been up this whole time, my muscles are tired, I'm tired, I want to kind of pull back. And I think I've got like 3 more minutes, 2 more minutes, whatever to go. And I think about how I want to finish well, how I want to run this race of perseverance until I cross that finish line. And I do not want to limp. I want to go with vigor and strength and the most spiritual energy I have ever had as I cross that finish line into the arms of Jesus. And as I sit on my Peloton, I think about that. I do. I mean, I sometimes cry on my Peloton. I really do. I think about the fact that that's how I want to finish, because I look around and I know that's not how everybody finishes. But I want to finish like that. And I think about that as I'm doing these things. I do not want to give up when it gets hard. I do not want to give up when I'm tired. I want to keep going. And exercise reminds me of this. It is embodying this truth. You can, and he has a list here on page 161 and 162 about just things that you can do to incorporate your spiritual life into your physical life. I mean, as you walk through your neighborhood, you can listen to sermons, you can listen to praise music, you can listen to a Bible app, you can pray as you walk through your neighborhood, pray for your neighbors, pray for your children. You can incorporate gratitude. I think every time I'm like, I cannot believe I am healthy enough to do this. What a gift. This is amazing. Unbelievable. I'm so grateful. There's so many things. It is all intertwined. It is all intertwined, and you can learn these lessons in exercise really like just about nothing else. And then he says, this is the thing to keep in mind, is as you are exercise, you are training for a life of love. And you can look through this list and see some of these and, you know, what is it that we're doing here? I want to be able to get down on the floor and get back up easily and wrestle and play with my children. and my grandchildren. I want to be able to go out in the yard and do strenuous yard work and feel great at the end of the day. Steve and I have aspirations. This one, he talks about going on long walks with distances on family vacations. I want to be able to travel with my husband and do like long hikes like Betsy just did not that long ago. I want to be able to hike 50 miles and go the distance. I want to do that. I want to have the life and the vitality so that we can connect in that way. He has several here that you be able to sprint to catch a child who's wandering into the street. There's so many reasons that we're training for a life of love. Not for a body image, not so we look a certain way, not for vanity, but for all of these reasons that we can love well and step into all the things that God has made available to us. So as you guys talk about this, I think a few things to think about, these discussion questions. I think honestly to think, is there a place in your life right now where you feel like you have hit a wall and that you need to know that the wall is not the wall? And how might God be using that place to teach you endurance and dependence on Him? You know, do you struggle with either ignoring or idolizing? What are the obstacles you have in your life to building this in? And really honestly assess your situation. Be patient with yourself. It's all about movement in a direction. I mean, if your life truly looked like mine right now, you probably would be idolizing it. I don't live with anybody except for my husband. I mean, I can get up when I want to and do what I want to do. You cannot. So it's going to look different, you know? And this last question here, I think, is one to consider. What do you hope your children learn from watching how you handle hard things? So, let me, I have a couple of announcements, and I'm going to pray for you. You can go to your group, because I didn't say this at the beginning. Next week, we have no mom to mom, because we're on spring break. The week after that, Don't y'all skip out. We're going to be talking about sex. And then the week after that, we're talking about technology. And then that last week that I have on the calendar, we will be talking about the worship chapter. And we are going to move the chapter on death and resurrection to April 16th. We will meet in here. That is actually my favorite chapter in the whole book. And it really deserves, I don't want to squish it with anything else. We'll have a little brunch in here. We'll have a little meetup. And I love this chapter because when we think about our death, it gives our life so much purpose and clarity. And it's just, it's a great chapter. So that will be on April 16th. So that is the plan for mom to mom going forward. We'll have childcare on the 16th. Just like normal. So anyways, let me pray for you. You can go to your groups. Heavenly Father, the fact that through suffering, through pain, through hard things, you build us up is just such a grace. I pray, Father, that you would help us to process this exactly how you want each woman in here to process this. That you would help us, Father, to live in accordance with how you've made us, and that you would use these hard things to grow both our physical and our faith muscles so that we might run this race all the way to the end with joy and perseverance, eyes fixed on Jesus. We thank you, Lord, just for the time and the people to even talk about this. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.